You know, it's about one thing, and it's just about one thing. It's about God's faithfulness, and therefore about God's love for us. But more than that, it's about God's faithfulness in the face of man's sinfulness. Hence my reading Genesis chapter 8, verse 21 and following. Although man had been sinful, although man had grieved God, although man had infuriated God, although man had come under the judgment of God, God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. He makes a promise, a covenantal promise with mankind. Though you may not love me, I'll always love you. You may be unfaithful to me, I'll always be faithful to you. Though you may forget me, I will never forget you. Though you may turn your back on me, I will never turn my back on you. Though you may deny me, I will not deny you. I will always be faithful to you in these creation gifts of harvest, of seed time, of cold, of heat, of summer, of winter, of day and of night. They will never cease. They will never cease. But the question one has to ask is, why is God faithful? Why in the face of man's sinfulness? Why in the face of our sinfulness is God faithful? Why does he provide for us? Well, John 3:16-17 has the answer. Because he is love. The name he is given is God is love. Not God is purity. God is holiness. He's holy, but not holiness. The one thing that describes God above all others is God is love. And today I want to reflect very simply on who this God of harvest really is. The first thing I want you to just think about is that this God of harvest, he is big. Our God is big. Our universe is big. I'm sure all of us have at some time gazed into the night sky and marveled at it. Sadly, city lights spoil things, big style, don't they? You go in the middle of a city and look up, you don't see a blind thing, but maybe fog and smoke reflected, the city lights reflected off that. City lights, pollution in the air prevents us from seeing the night sky very well. But have you ever been out in a country place where there's not much pollution, and you've gone out where there are no street lights, and you gaze into the night sky? Years ago, we used to go to a place called Llanymowdhi. Some of you will have been there. Some of you will have been with us there. And it used to be lovely to go out at night. It was absolutely pitch black in those Welsh mountains. There was very little pollution. And you gazed into the sky, and all you saw was millions and millions and millions of stars. I have a telescope. I've not used it for a long time. One of the things about the telescope is wherever you point it, you find a space. So I'll look into that space. And when you look through the telescope, it's full. Just full. Millions of stars. You can search right now. There's a hole there. I found a place where there's nothing. You look through a little scope. Yeah, there's nothing there. Focus a big scope on it. Full of stars. You cannot find a place where there are no stars. Countless stars. It's absolutely amazing. And the reality is that the God who made all of this, the God who made the universe, is vast beyond anything we can possibly begin to imagine. The sun is the nearest star to us. You all knew that, didn't you? The sun is the nearest star to us. Well, the sun is 93 million miles away from us. And it's our nearest star. Now, 93 million miles is quite a long way, isn't it? You know? For us who are used to saying, "Phew, goodness, we're not going to go 20 miles today to work." 93 million miles is quite a long way. And it is a fierce, burning mass hotter than anything we can imagine. And at 93 million miles, it can hurt you. You go to a dry, hot place. Some of you have been to Death Valley. Don't sunbathe for very long in Death Valley. It'll kill you. The sun will kill you. It'll just dry you up and burn you up. There are people who've been found who've been walking in Death Valley and they've died. And you know, a year after they've disappeared, their bodies have been found in their clothes, and when they lift them up, they're just white bones in cloth. They've dried up and totally disappeared. The sun can be mean. It's hot. It's not like a fight. Well, let's get a bit closer to get warm. You don't want any closer than the sun. Thank you. It's a burning, burning mass. The next star to the sun is 4.5 light years away. And the furthest star that you can see with the naked eye is 3,000 light years away. Now, a light year, these distances, you don't talk about miles when you talk about stars. It gets silly. And pieces of paper aren't long enough to put the notes on. Because you talk about light years. And a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. Now, light travels at 11,160,000 miles per minute. That's 669,660,000 miles an hour. That's quite fast, isn't it? That's 16,800,000,000 miles per day. So one light year is 6,132,000,000,000 miles. Doesn't mean anything, does it, when you say that? It just doesn't mean anything. That's one light year. And we're talking about stars that are billions of light years. Big. Big. God made that. He's vast. He's massive. He's huge. He's enormous. The Hubble telescope has seen galaxies that are 13 billion light years from us. And God's made all of these things. There's a wonderful passage in Colossians chapter 1. It's the reading set for today in my Bible reading plan. And in Colossians 1, there's this glorious thing which says why all these things exist. Listen to this, verse 15. It's beautiful. Christ, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is an extraordinary statement. Now, when Paul wrote that, he had not the first notion of what an amazing statement he was making. He didn't have the enlightenment of 21st century science. He didn't have the Hubble telescope. He just had his eyes to look up. And he had no idea what distances we're now talking about. He was describing the glory of creation. He was describing the greatness of God. But even he did not understand what we now understand about just how massive this God is that we're speaking about. And the Word who became flesh made all of that. It was made by him. It was made for him. And it holds together in him. You see, God didn't just make the universe. He sustains it. The Word who became flesh sustains it. He holds it together. If he were to turn his back on the universe, everything would fall into total chaos and destruction. The very laws of physics themselves hold together because he's designed them, he's made them, he keeps them in place. Things we see and things we do not see. It's absolutely amazing. There's a lovely DVD that some of you have seen by Louis Giglio called Indescribable. I just love that guy. He's amazing. And that pictures this in graphic terms. You begin to grasp just how amazing this is. But God is phenomenal. He's huge. And some of these concepts are just beyond anything we can imagine. Sound and light don't just exist, they travel. Sound travels at 760 miles an hour. So actually, you are hearing what I'm saying just after I've said it. Did you realize that? You hear it, Nettie, just before the guys on the back row hear it, and just before Richard hears it. He's the last of all because he's furthest away. If we could speak in such a way as to bounce the sound off the wall so you wouldn't hear and it went around, 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 there'd be a delay. I think I could show this. If I direct it to about there, so it goes to there, back again to there, and gradually moves further around to eventually, there'll be a gap. Watch. Hey, how about that? Is that amazing? Or is that amazing? Did you get that, David? It's good. Yeah, if we do it this way, it'll be quicker. Hey. It's not bad, is it? Not bad, not bad. That's quite something. But the point is that that is the speed at which sound travels. I was joking. We speak it. I thought that maybe Manchester City supporters here wouldn't understand that. They never do. But light travels. It isn't instantaneous. And God has made these laws of physics. He's made these laws about sound and light. And the world in which we live is an amazing world. And it's a big universe. A big, big universe. God is big. But God is not just vast. You should take comfort in that. I mean, just think of this as a very simple illustration. If the God in whom you trust made the whole universe, if he made these stars which are unimaginable distances from us, if he made all of that, and if he loves you and cares about you, if your life is in his hands, what in the world do you worry about anything for? Any of us here that ever worry? Why? What's wrong with you? Do you know who God is? Do you know who the God is that loves you and cares for you? He's the God who is bigger than anything you could imagine. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. I remember seeing a film of that guy, Blondin. Have you heard of that fellow Blondin who was sort of tightrope walker? And he walked across some you know, fantastic thing. And he said to somebody, "I'll take you across in a wheelbarrow." Yeah. And this idiot got in a wheelbarrow. And Blondin was the greatest. And he wheeled him all the way across. Well, I can tell you one person wouldn't have gone in that wheelbarrow. I'm sure he could do it. Yes, we believe you can do it, Blondin. Get in. No, thank you. God isn't a Blondin. He never gets anything wrong. He never fails. He is perfect. He's all powerful. So if God says, trust me, trust him. If he says, I'll never leave you, he'll never leave you. If he says, I won't forsake you, he won't forsake you. If he says, you're okay, I'll hold you in my hands, he'll hold you in his hands. You have absolutely nothing to fear. Whatever happens, we're safe in his hands. Remember that. And next time that Satan tempts us to worry and get anxious and be fearful and think, man alive, what in the world's going to happen now? God says, I know. I've been there. It's okay. The path is safe. You know, sometimes people seems to think that as Christians, walking through life's like walking through a minefield. It's just a matter of, look, if you're going to put your foot on one of these horrible things that blows you up. That isn't the case. Oh, it's a minefield. But who's walking us through? God's walking us through. And he knows every step, every inch, every millimetre of the way. And you're safe in his hands. But this God who is big is also a God who is beautiful. Isn't our world an amazing and beautiful place? I was just looking at this morning. Not so much the colours on the Kellogg's Crunchy Nut packets, but this here. And that's great too. But just look at the colours in here. They're absolutely amazing. The greens and the reds and the yellows, the different hues, the shapes. Glorious. And that's just a tiny quick flash of what God is and how glorious he is, how beautiful he is. You look at creation, he is just amazing. Just amazing. Somebody was saying in our group before that, I think it was Nettie, that this time of the year is her favourite time of the year. I was once where Martin was brought up in West Virginia, and Martin's dad took us a ride through some of the forest there in the fall. Americans have it's a good name, the fall, isn't it? Because all the leaves fall. And the colours were just unbelievable, absolutely glorious, just amazing. These glorious golds. I'm told in New England it's even more amazing with, you know, the trees there in the fall. But every time of year is different. I love spring. I just love being woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning by a blackbird that sits right outside my window and just shouts its head off It's great. It's beautiful. The songs of the birds, the beauty of the flowers, the wonders of nature. The wonders of nature have never, never been as accessible to us as they are now. Never. They've never been so accessible. You know, I just love some of these nature films. And even when they're put on by people who don't believe as we believe, they're still marvelous and they're still amazing. You know, from the wonders of the oceans. There was one on the other week that Judith and I were watching, and it was underneath the Antarctica. It was unbelievable. Just incredible. The things that's going on. From underneath the ice, to the top of the mountains, to filming snow leopards, to filming, you know, polar bears, to filling killer, you know, killer whales, whatever, all of these things. It's the penguins. Have you seen that film about the penguins? Isn't that mind-blowing? They're going along, just standing there like this and trying to keep warm, not dropping the egg, you know. Whoa. What a life! Thank you, Lord, I'm not a penguin. At least not a male penguin. It's amazing. Just amazing. The wonders of the creation are absolutely glorious. And modern wildlife photographers just capture it, so much of it for us. So much of it for us. There was a lovely old song that was sung by Satchmo. Do you remember it? Wish I could sing it, but I daren't. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Do you remember that? It's glorious. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, bright blessed day, dark sacred nights. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colours of the rainbow, pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Isn't that beautiful? And do you know something? When you look around, we live in a wonderful, wonderful world. And God is beautiful. And He has shown us His beauty in everything around us. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he makes this very, very clear and very, very plain. And in Romans chapter 1, he shows that nobody has an excuse to say, I didn't know there was a God. He says, you see, the evidence of God is all around you. And in verse 20 he says this, God gave some people over to shameful lusts, but then he makes this lovely, lovely observation, and it's an important observation he makes right there. He says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Nobody has an excuse to say, well, I didn't know there was a God. He'd say, open your eyes. What do you see? How do you think this has all come into being? You think it's just happened? No, no, no. There is design here. There's beauty here. There's structure here. There is a glorious mind who has thought up and fashioned all of this. A creator has made this. And when God made the world, He made a perfect world. If you read the first chapter of Genesis, verse 10, verse 18, verse 21 and 25, these words appear, and God saw that it was very good. God made every part of creation. He said, hey, I'm pleased with that. I remember when I was a child in woodwork, I was never very good at crafty things, really. Well, not crafty, hand-making. I was good at crafty things, but not hand-making crafty things. I remember being in the woodwork shop and I made something. And I thought, hey, that's pretty good. I got a face side and a face edge. Remember having to do that. I got out a joint. I made a piece of wood like that with a mortise and tenon joint. And I was very pleased. Brilliant tenon, great mortise, fitted together, wobbled a bit. And the teacher said, let me look. Yeah, bin. What are you doing? Why don't you take it home to my mum and dad? He said, it's rubbish. And I picked it out and said, that is not rubbish, sir. He said, it's rubbish. I said, I'm sorry. I made that. A lot of work's gone into that. He said, we'll have to do another one. So I was made to do another one. Eventually, after about 7 goes, I made one I was allowed to take home. I said, what's this? He said, it's still rubbish, but you can take it home. And he said, it doesn't fall apart. I thought it was great. But it took me out 7 goes to get one that was good enough to take home to show my mother and father. Mum said, oh, that's great. No, sorry. Dad said, that's great. Mother says, it wobbles. My dad was a lovely man and very discerning. Anyhow, that's how it was. When God made something, he didn't have to have 3 or 4 goes to get it right. He didn't say, you know, I'm going to make fish. Oh, that's a bit of a mess. Start again. Let me have another go. And on the 375th day, God said, it looks okay. That'll do. And he saw it was very good. He made the whole world. He made the whole universe. And he said, that's perfect. More than anything, we are told about the creation of the world, the planet on which we live. He fashioned that with special love and care. And we are told, if you go out of space and look back at the world by these astronauts, it just stands out like a glorious, beautiful orb in a sky of colourless greys. Glorious. He made this beautiful world, and he made it in perfection. A perfect world. That's what he made. And this beautiful world, this marvellous universe, he made for you and I to enjoy. He made it a place in which we could discover just how marvellous he is. How wonderful he is. And to enjoy. To just be filled with a sense of overwhelming wonder at how great, how beautiful, how wonderful is our God. If you're a believer this morning, everything you see in this world is yours. To enjoy. To revel in and enjoy. The mountains and the oceans and the rivers and the birds and the fish, every single part of creation, yours to enjoy. Our inheritance from Jesus, the Word made flesh. As we read in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then he tells us that everything was made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. So this God is a beautiful God who has created a beautiful world. A world in which everything is provided for us. Everything is provided for us to richly enjoy. It's a world we shouldn't abuse. I believe every Christian should be concerned about nature and about the world. Not obsessed by it, but concerned about it. It won't do to be abusive of other human beings or the world God's given us. Our God is good. He's provided for us all. He's given a world, yes, a world, in which we are provided for in every way. Food to eat, clothes to wear, materials to build our homes, things to keep us warm. But finally, above all things, the God of harvest is a God who loves us. Let's try to grasp this. This massive, this vast, this all-powerful God loves you and me. And he holds us in his hand. His love surpasses anything we could imagine. Anything we could begin to imagine surpasses that. And this is the message of harvest time. It's God speaking through the autumn leaves that are falling and through the seeds that are coming to fruition. He's saying, I love you. But God doesn't scream at us. He whispers, I love you. When I came out this morning, I went to the car and I heard this sound, this wind blowing through the trees. I thought, whoa, the wind's on its way. I got into the car and I thought, but do you know something? Every sound of creation, a rippling brook, even the thunder flashes on Friday, they were spectacular, weren't they? And the flashes of lightning. The wind blowing through the trees this morning, the songs of the birds, every sound of nature. He's God whispering, singing a song of love to us. I love you. Trust me. Love me. I love you. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I'm for you. there's somebody who is on our side. And his name is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord of the harvest. And all he requires of you is that you love him. And then everything is yours. If you don't know him, if you don't love him, you haven't begun to imagine what life and this world is really for, or what it's about. I pray that by God's grace, this harvest time, we shall know him and love him and trust him. Let's sing our final song. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me falls at your throne. Your Majesty, I can but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your Majesty.